Hey there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to my fourth podcast on Android. Wow. I wasn't expecting this to turn into this much of a series. This is awesome. I did the first one and didn't know, you know, how people would respond to it, and so many people liked it and wanted more, so I did a second one, and then we did a third one, and I'm going to cover some other things in this one, number four, that a lot of people have been asking about, and also I'm going to try to cover some things that I see quite a bit on the Eyes Free list, people asking questions about. So I'm going to show you a couple things with that. So here's what I wanted to cover in this podcast. One question that a lot of people ask is, how do you switch text-to-speech engines? There's a couple of different voices that are available on the Android market. Now, I showed you a Loquendo Susan in the first podcast, and then, of course, I started using mobile accessibility, which I'm still using in the subsequent podcasts. But other applications that are self-voicing or theater screen readers can use a lot of the different voices that are available on Android. So it is important to know how to switch between them. And so I will show you that. I don't know if I covered in detail how to switch screen readers, because sometimes you may want to be able to do that. So I will show you that. I will give you, I don't know what phones I've mentioned are good phones to get in the previous ones. So what I'm going to do in this one is just kind of give you an up-to-date rundown list of the phones that I know will work very well with accessibility. There may be others, I don't know, but I think I've got a pretty good list. And then I'll show you a couple of instant messaging apps that are very accessible. This is really cool. Found a couple of IM apps that work very well on Android. They're very accessible, and hats off to the developers. I don't know if they intended to make them that way, but really what it gets down to is they labeled everything, and they didn't use anything non-standard. And really, if developers would do that, we wouldn't really have accessibility problems. There are a couple of things that still need to be worked out with Android accessibility, which are coming, I think, according to a YouTube presentation I heard. But a lot of it is already there. A lot of the issue is that developers don't label their buttons, or they don't make things focusable, or they use non-standard controls. And that's really a problem with any platform. If developers don't adhere to the standards provided, you're going to run into problems. So I'll show you a couple of IM apps. And then there's a new app out there. This is really cool. It's already on the iPhone, so some of you may have used this. But the Sendero Lookaround app is now available on Android. So what we'll do is we'll take that out for a spin, and I'll show you how that works. And related to that, I'll show you how you can use a Bluetooth GPS receiver with Android. If some of you have come from Windows Mobile or Symbian, perhaps, and you had a Bluetooth receiver, and you might be wondering what to do with that. Well, in a lot of cases, the GPS receiver that's built into Android is pretty accurate in the Android phones, but if you want to use a Bluetooth receiver for the best accuracy, you can do that. And I will show you how to do it. There's a free app called Bluetooth GPS that you can get from the market that will allow you to do that, and it works very nicely. So that's what I want to cover in this podcast. For this one, I've got two droids, as I call them, the phones that run Android, soon to be three. I actually have the Motorola Milestone 2, which I'm going to be using for this podcast. I've got the Nexus 1, and then I did order a T-Mobile G2. Now, those of you that have seen some of my comments before know that I prefer phones that are unlocked and that are not tied to carriers. And the G2, though it's on T-Mobile, is a very stock phone. There's not a lot of carrier bloatware on it or anything like that. And the one I managed to pick up was unlocked. And it's a very good phone. A lot of people that have it like it. And so I did pick that up, and I should have that hopefully sometime next week. So for this podcast, though, I'll be using my Motorola Milestone 2. It's got the QWERTY keyboard on it. It's a very nice phone. I really like it. It's actually become my primary phone, really. And it does everything that I need to do. I still use my iPhone at times also, but and I like iOS still. I really do, and I will do some other podcasts on that when the new version 5 comes out of iOS later this year. as well as when the new Mac OS comes out, 10.7. So that's something to look forward to. But the more I'm using Android, the more I'm really liking its openness. There's much more freedom and flexibility. And if I remember, I'll cover something in particular about that when we get to the Sendero Lookaround app. They've taken a little bit of a different approach to how they do it than on the iPhone because they have a couple of other options available to them. Well, mainly the app is self-voicing in a lot of ways, whereas on the iPhone, it has to rely on VoiceOver to read the text. Okay, so the first thing I want to show you is, well, we'll kind of kill two birds with one stone here. I've shown you what the Loquendo Susan voice sounds like, and it's a good one, but there's another voice that I've gotten from the market. It's available. It's a little bit cheaper. I think it's like $2.99, and it's made by S-Vox. And it's a U.S. voice, and her name is Grace. And so what I'm going to do first is show you how to kind of enable different speech engines and how to switch between them. Of course, the Pico engine is the default engine that comes with Android. And it's certainly better than nothing, but I don't know. I prefer something a little bit better quality. The Loquendo Susan voice is very good also. The thing with that is it sometimes takes a long time to initialize. And so that can often be a problem when you start to use an app. You might miss a couple of things. But the S-Fox Grace voice, she initializes very fast. And it's a good quality voice, I think. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to unlock my screen. Oh, let me go ahead and do the phone rundown of the current phones that should work pretty good. There's a couple of new ones here. Okay, for T-Mobile, and this assumes you want to get one from the carrier. If you want to get an unlocked phone, you can certainly get the Motorola Milestone 2, the Nexus 1. The Nexus 1 doesn't have an on-screen hardware keyboard on it. But if you don't need that and you can use the on-screen talking keyboard, there's a couple of those now, you can certainly do that. Or you can get, you know, one of the other phones and see if you can get one of them that's already unlocked. But the factory unlocked ones would be the Motorola Milestone 2 and the Nexus 1. And those, of course, will work on the GSM carriers. Okay, for carrier phones for T-Mobile, you can get the T-Mobile G2. The Sidekick 4G, that's a Samsung phone that a lot of people seem to like. The Motorola Click 2 is a good one. And I believe they're coming out with a new one, Samsung, as it's called the Gravity Smart, I believe, or something like that. That one also would be a good choice. For AT&T, they now have a new phone out, but it does have a lot of bloatware on it, AT&T apps. But if you want to have a look at it, it's the AT&T crossover. But still, for the best experience, I would recommend you go for the Nexus 1 or the Motorola Milestone 2 if you're going to use AT&T. Now, of course, for Verizon and Sprint, you can't really get an unlocked phone because they're CDMA. For Verizon, the Droid 2, the Motorola Droid 2 is probably the best option. That's very similar to the Milestone 2, except it's CDMA. And I've heard the Droid 3 is going to be on the horizon, and that is going to have a number row on it also for the keyboard, so that should be really good. And I wonder if Motorola is going to have a Milestone 3, a GSM version of that. If they do, you can be sure I'm going to be getting that one, no doubt about it. For Sprint, you've got a few choices. The Samsung Epic has a very nice keyboard. It's usable, but there are some issues because Samsung has insisted on modifying the interface, which, again, I like the openness of Android, but and it's good that you can, you know, customize it and install a bunch of different home screens and things like that, but some of these manufacturers, though, they take it almost too far, and they modify the actual interface on the phone, and you can't change it, and it breaks accessibility sometimes. That's why I think I wish all the phones would start out with stock Android, just regular vanilla Android with no modification, and then if users want to install that stuff, they can, but I don't think it should be forced on people. But in any case, the Epic will have some issues with the contacts and the call log apps reading correctly, but you can get other applications to work around that, mobile accessibility being one of them. The HTC Evo Shift 4G is another one that works well. And Motorola, I think, is coming out with a new one for them, the Smart. I think it's called the SMRT or something like that. So that's another one that you might want to consider. And I think the Samsung Intercept and the Samsung Transform are still available. And Samsung actually has a new one, too, and it's actually very environmentally friendly. It's made from recyclable materials, I think. But it would be a good one. The Replenish is what it's called. And on Verizon, too, there's another new one. If you don't need a hardware keyboard, the Sony Xperia Play, actually, it's called. Now, I'm not sure if blind people would be able to play any of the games that it has on it, but you can use the controller for navigation when you're not in the games. And I have heard, too, the Eyes Free Project is aware, you know, that we need access to, you know, other controls that can't be focused and, you know, that we're not always going to have, a trackpad and navigation control. And they are working on that stuff. I think later this year when Ice Cream Sandwich, that sounds delicious, doesn't it, comes out, that's going to be the next version of Android that's going to merge kind of the Honeycomb tablet interface with the phone version. I think we're going to see some improvements there, particularly the built-in web browser, I think, is going to be accessible on that. So that'll be really nice. So it's getting better, no doubt about it. Android has become a very usable platform, and it's only going to get better from there. So those are the phones I'd recommend. Okay, let's go ahead and let me go ahead and unlock my phone here, and we'll go to settings, and I will show you how to enable and disable different speech engines and those kind of things. This is assuming that you've already purchased the speech engine and you've already downloaded and installed it. A lot of times, what you'll need to do in the case of the SVox one, you'll have to download and install SVox Classic. That's the actual speech engine itself. That's a free download. And you install that, and then you purchase one of the voices, and you install that as well. And then once you do that, you need to run the actual application. And that will complete the install and copy the data to your SD card, the actual voice data. So assuming those things have been done, in the case of the Liquendo Susan voice, you run the app that you download, and then it downloads and installs the voice data as well to your SD card. Now, there are some other new voices. I don't have them on this phone. They're in beta still. Ivona actually has come out with a couple, and they're very good quality voices. The reason I don't have them is because they, and this may be worked out in the final release, I don't know, it's still in beta, but in addition to requiring space on your SD card, which is fine, but they take 30 megabytes of phone storage. And that's a lot to spare. I actually uninstalled those because I couldn't spare that much memory. Oh, the other thing I want to show you in this podcast, too, I should have covered this at the beginning, how to manage applications, how to, if you want to uninstall apps. I know I've done that a little bit before, but what if you want to clear the data out for an application and start from scratch? How do you do that? So I'll show you that. When we get to the Lookaround app, I'll kind of show you that so you can kind of see how that application starts out when you first install it. So we'll cover that also. Okay, so once the voice data is installed, then how do you enable it and how do you switch to it? Okay, let me go ahead and unlock my phone here and press the power button, and then you swipe your finger across the screen to unlock it. Let me open it up here.
Unlock window, T-Mobile.
Okay, so that's the lock screen. Let me go ahead and swipe across.
Mobile accessibility. Phone 1 of 10.
And again, I'm using the mobile accessibility home screen. If you're not using that, that's okay. Just get to your applications list on whatever home screen you're using. I actually am going to take a shortcut. A lot of the phones that have hardware keyboards, you can set up keyboard shortcuts where you hold the search key down and you press different letters on the keyboard, sort of like starting keyboard shortcuts to launch applications like you can do in Windows. I have if I hold the search key in S, I have that set to open up my settings application on the phone, which, by the way, you can set that under applications and settings to the keyboard shortcuts. So I'm going to hold the search key and press the letter S.
Settings. Window.
Okay, and here we are. So I'm going to arrow down to voice input and output.
Wireless and networks. Call set sound. 3 of 7. Display. Data man. Locate accounts. Application. Battery. Privacy. SD card. Search. Language and keyboard.
And depending on your phone, some of these might be a different label than what mine says. And that's all right. But it should be hopefully pretty easy to find it.
Voice input and output.
There we go.
14 of 17.
Let's go ahead and select that.
Voice input and output settings. Window. Voice recognizer settings. 1 of 2.
And let's go down to text to speech.
Text to speech settings. 2 of 2. Text to speech settings. Window. Listen to an example. Play a short demonstration of speech synthesis. 1 of 10.
Okay. That will allow you to hear a demonstration or just some sample text of your current TTS engine, whatever you have selected. The next option down is important.
Always use my settings. Default settings below override application settings. Check.
Okay, if you're going to use one of the other engines, you'll want to check that. You'll want to check that option, and there's really no reason to uncheck that once you check it, there's no reason to really uncheck it. That way it'll make sure that all the any self-voicing app or any of the other screen readers use that voice. Now, mobile accessibility has its own text-to-speech engine, so it doesn't apply to that. But for all other apps, it does apply.
Default engine sets the speech synthesis engine to be used for spoken text. 3 of 10.
Okay, we're going to come back to that. That's where you actually select the speech engine that you want, and we're going to come back to that. But let's keep going for a minute.
Install voice data. Speech rate. Speed at which the text is spoken.
Okay, that allows you to change the speech rate, and different speech engines may be, you know, you may have a different preference, and they may be set differently. For example, the SVOX voice works fine on normal, but Laquindo Susan, she talks a little fast when set to normal, so better to set her to slow a little bit. It sounds a little bit better.
Language. Sets the language-specific voice for the spoken text.
Okay, that sets what language, and of course, whatever voices you have installed, you'll want to make sure that this setting, the language setting, corresponds to the language of the voice that you want to use.
Pico TTS. Pico TTS settings.
Okay, that's the settings for the built-in engine, the Pico TTS settings, and that's, of course, what comes with the Android phones.
SVOX Classic TTS. Checked. 8 of 10.
Okay, you'll notice it says SVOX Classic checked. Anytime you install a speech engine, there's going to be an option to enable or disable it, and it's going to be a checkbox. So the first thing you'll need to do is come in here and check that. Matter of fact, let me uncheck this.
Not checked.
And that's how you'll find it when you first install a speech engine. It will not be checked. So if I go ahead and check this now, it'll give you a little alert message here when you check it, which says,
attention, this speech synthesis engine may be able to collect all the text that will be spoken, including personal data like passwords and credit card numbers. It comes from the SVOX Classic TTS engine. Enable the use of this speech synthesis engine. Okay. Cancel.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's asking if you want to enable it, and we're already on okay, so let's just press enter here.
Okay. Text to speech settings. Window. SVOX Classic TTS. Checked. 8 of 10.
Okay. And now it's checked. Now, if we arrow down,
SVOX Classic TTS. SVOX Classic TTS settings.
Each engine may or may not have its own settings. If it does, you'll either find it in the app itself or you'll find it in here. In this case, SVOX has its own settings. I'll just go in here and show you what's here.
SVOX Classic TTS settings. Window. SVOX TTS volume. Increase or reduce loudness of TTS messages. Increasing it a lot introduces some distortion. 1 of 3.
Okay.
SVOX TTS pitch. Increase or reduce
so you can change the
TTS Language override. Default value is unchecked. Check to use default language and voice for all TTS requests. Checked. 3 of 5. UK English voices. 4 of 5. US English voices.
And this allows you to set which voice, based on the language, is the default. I've got a couple of different U.S. English voices. I've got Grace, which is the one I use, and then I got Michael, which is a male voice, and then I've got one British, Victoria. So Grace is already my default, so we'll just go ahead and back out of here with the back key.
Text-to-speech settings. Window.
Okay.
SVOX
now,
classic TTS.
Once you...
SVOX classic TTS settings.
Okay. Once you enable the the voice engine that you want, then you have to go set it as the default. And that's that option that I said we'd come back to. It's the third option from the top. So let's just go ahead and
move up here. Listen to an example. Default engine sets the speech synthesis engine to be used for spoken text.
And let's go ahead and select that.
Default engine. SVOX Classic TTS. Cancel. Cancel. SVOX Pico TTS.
Okay.
One of two.
So we'd select the SVOX Classic one here.
SVOX Classic Text to Speech Settings. Window. Default engine.
And now
sets the speech synthesis engine to be used for spoken text.
If we click on that option to hear a sample text, Grace should make herself known. Now, you might hear her talking over Samantha for mobile accessibility, but let's see.
I'll listen to an example. Play a short demonstration of speech synthesis. 1 of 10.
This is an example of speech synthesis in English with SVOX Classic.
Yeah, I like her voice, and she's very good at giving directions, too, and everything else. And she's got a very soft-spoken, pleasant voice. I like that engine quite a bit. So that's how you switch between engines, and that's how you enable one once you've purchased and installed it. Since she is my default voice, she would be used at this point for navigation for one of the other screen readers, and she also is the voice of the Sendero Lookaround app. Okay, let's go ahead and hit the back key, and let's go back to settings, the regular,
voice
the main settings screen.
Settings. Window. Text to speech settings.
Hit back twice,
window.
Actually.
Voice
okay.
Input and output.
Now,
14 of
17. What if you want to switch screen readers? Maybe with a certain application, one of the screen readers reads better than another one. Can you do that without totally losing speech and needing sighted help? Yes, once it's enabled the first time, which hopefully that is something Google will address also, is the ability to, when you get a new phone, to enable speech without sighted help. That definitely is something that they need to address. To do that, though, let's go into accessibility.
Accessibility. 15 of 17.
Open that.
Accessibility settings. Window. Accessibility. Check. 1 of 9.
Okay. I've actually got four different screen readers on here. One called Voice Readout, which actually came with the phone. That's something Motorola included, which was really kind of nice. I've got TalkBack. I've got Spiel. And then, of course, Mobile Accessibility has its own screen reader. So to switch, if you want to switch to a different one, what you would do is check the one you want, and then you would uncheck the one you want to disable. Only one will speak at a time, but if you have two screen readers enabled at the same time, it won't crash the phone or anything like that. But again, you'd only get spoken text from one of them. So let's say I wanted to enable Spiel. What I would do is go down.
Voice readouts, not checked. Zoom mode, Spiel, not checked. 4 of 9.
And go ahead and check that.
Attention. This accessibility service may be able to collect all the text you type, including personal data, credit card numbers, except passwords. It may also log your user interface interactions. It comes from the application Spiel. Use this accessibility service. Okay. Cancel.
Okay. So okay. We'll go ahead and say okay.
Cancel. Okay. Accessibility settings. Window.
Welcome to Spiel.
Checked.
Now you see we kind of have some double speech because, again, mobile accessibility uses its own speech engine. So now we would just go down and disable mobile accessibility.
TalkBack, not checked. Font sound back, not checked. Mobile accessibility, checked. 7 of 9. Not checked.
And there we go. And now we can use Spiel. If we hit the back key, we can go back.
Settings. Accessibility. 15 of 17.
But the thing with mobile accessibility is if I go back to the home screen, I will have double speech, like this.
Mobile accessibility. Phone 1 of 10. Contacts 2 of 10.
See, I got double speech there because, again, mobile accessibility uses its own text-to-speech engine. I can understand why Code Factory did that because that way sometimes phones, when they get updates, it doesn't include the default text-to-speech engine, so I guess it guarantees that you won't be left without speech, but sometimes it can cause a problem, like in cases like this. So what I'm going to do is go back to the mobile accessibility screen reader, because it's seamless that way, but I just wanted to show you how to switch between them. So let's hold the search key and press S to go back to the settings screen.
Settings. Wireless and networks. 1 of 17. Call settings. 2 of 17.
Okay, let's go back down to accessibility.
Account, battery, privacy, SD card and phone storage, 11 surge, 12 language and keyboard, voice input and output, phone accessibility, 5 accessibility settings, accessibility, check.
Okay, now we'll go down and check mobile accessibility, and then I'll uncheck Spiel.
Voice readouts, zoom mode, Spiel, check, talkback, soundback, not mobile accessibility, not checked, 7 check alert. Attention, this accessibility service may be able to collect all the text you type, including personal data, credit card numbers, except passwords. It may also log your user interface interactions. It comes from the application Mobile Accessibility. Use this accessibility service.
We'll tell
cancel,
it,
but okay.
Okay.
Button.
Welcome to Mobile Accessibility.
Okay, and now I'll go ahead and uncheck Spiel.
Sound back, not talk back, not a Spiel, checked, 4 of 9.
Not checked.
There we go. Because again, only one will speak at a time, but if you have two of them enabled, you know, temporarily, it won't crash your phone or anything like that. So there you go. That's kind of how you switch between screen readers and text-to-speech engines. All right. Well, let me go ahead and connect to my Wi-Fi network here, because it'll be a lot faster, and I will show you a couple of instant messaging apps that work very nicely. Let's hit the back key here to go back to the main settings.
Settings. Window. Accessibility.
And I'm going to hold my
17.
Alt key and press the up arrow to zap to the top of this list.
Wireless and networks.
And let's 1 of 17. In there.
Wireless and network settings. Window. Airplane mode. Disable all wireless connections. Not checked. 1 of 7. Wi-Fi. Turn on Wi-Fi.
Turn on
not checked.
The Wi-Fi. Let's
2
go ahead
of 7.
And check that.
Checked.
And then there we go. And it'll take it a moment to connect to my wireless router. And meantime, I can go back to the mobile accessibility home screen here.
Settings. Window. Wireless. Mobile accessibility. Contacts 2 of 10.
Okay. And I'll just give this a second to connect and find my router. And we can verify that it's connected, that it is, from the phone status option in mobile accessibility. So go ahead and do that here in just a minute. Okay, I went ahead and paused that for a moment. I wanted to go sign out of Messenger on my Mac computer and close that client, because you can really only have one sign in at a time usually. Okay, and my screen is locked also. Let me go ahead and
unlock
that.
Window. Mobile accessibility.
Okay. I should be connected to my router now. Let me just double check.
Date and time. Phone status 2. Battery level 90. Signal level 4. Network T dash mobile Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Mobile accessibility.
There's two clients that I want to show you.
Two of 10.
One of them is called IM Plus, and that one will work with several different things. It'll work with, I think, Facebook, Skype, MSN slash Windows Live Messenger, which is the one I'm going to show you, and I think it works with a couple of other ones. And then one called MSN Messenger Mercury, it's called. That one just does MSN, but they're both very, very accessible. So let's go to my apps list.
Settings 10.
These are both free in the Android market. There is a paid version, too, of the Mercury one, MSN Messenger Mercury, which I'm thinking about getting. I always like to support developers who have made their apps accessible. I don't know if, you know, whether they set out to do that or whether they just it just is because they, again, programmed it well. Either way, it's always good to support developers who have made their app very accessible. Okay.
Apps 9 of 10.
So let's go into apps here.
Apps. List. One tap cleaner free 1 of 13.
And we'll hit I.
iBlink Radio 20.
iBlink Radio. That's another one I should show you. That's now available for Android. You know what? Let's do that really fast. I will still show you the Messenger clients, I promise. But iBlink Radio has just been released by Saratech for Android, and this is also available on the iPhone, but it's really awesome on Android. Definitely want to go get it. It's iBlink Radio, and it's free. It's on the market.
iBlink Radio 29 of 76. iBlink Radio. Window. Tech Chat 105 experts tell us how to improve the quality of our sleep. 1 of 10. Are you totally blind and suffering from recurring sleep problems? Tap here. 2 of 10. Audio tutorials and interviews. 3 of 10.
So there's all different categories. You got audio tutorials and interviews. I think some of my Mac stuff is actually in there.
Blindness resources, 4 of 10. Community radio, 5 of 10.
Community radio, that's radio stations that are run by blind users.
Podcasts.
Podcasts, there's a ton of different podcasts in there. It's really awesome.
Reading services.
Reading services, newspapers. Let's go in there. Well, actually, let me show you what else is here first.
SamNet Sampler, 8 of 10. Favorites, 9 of local content, 10 of 10.
Okay, let's go to the reading services.
Sam Reading Services, iBlink Radio, Window, Audio Archives, 1 of 37. Canada Voice Print, Magazines and Periodicals, 3 of 37. U.S. Newspapers on Demand, 4 of 37, Arizona, Tempe, U.S.
Let's try that, U.S. Newspapers.
On Demand, iBlink Radio, Window, Iowa Newspapers, 1 of 7, New York Times, 2 of 7.
Ooh, how about that? Let's take a look at that one.
iBlink Radio, Window, NY Times Monday, 1 of 10, NY Times Tuesday, 2 of 10, NY Times Friday, Book Review Section Part 1. 7 of 10. Book review S. Book review section part 3. Magazine section. 10 of 10.
Well, let's try. I don't know if it's
book
for this for last week
one.
Or what it is, but let's
7
just
of 10.
Try one of these.
Arts S. NY Times Friday. 5 of 10.
Let's just try that and see what.
Arts S section. NY Times Friday. 5 of 10. Arts S section. Book reviews, magazines. This stream is currently unavailable. Okay. Okay.
Oh.
Button.
Okay.
Same mobile network, New York Times. Same mobile network, US. Newspapers on demand. This stream is currently unavailable. Okay. Okay. Button. Same mobile network, US. Newspapers on same mobile network reading services. Window. US. Arizona. Arizona. Tucson. California. California.
Oh, let's
San Diego.
Try
KBPS Radio Reading Service.
Let's try this one.
37. Video error. File cannot be displayed or played. Okay. Okay.
Well,
same mobile network
not having
reading
too much
services.
Luck with this, are we?
Window. Same mobile network iBlink Radio. Window. Reading Service at SamNet Sampler.
Well,
8 of podcasts.
Let's take a look at the podcast
10.
Option.
iBlink Radio. Window. Serotalk.com blog and podcast website. 1 of 52. Serotalk Podcast. Serotalk Tech Chat. 3 of
52. Serotalk podcast. Let's do that. That's a good one. They just did one on the new Apple stuff.
iBlink Radio. Window. Website. 1 of 70. A License to Steal. 2 of 70.
A License to Steal. That's the newest podcast. Let's go ahead and open that and see if this will play.
Comments made on the Serotalk podcast are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast. Your portal
okay.
To the accessible
there we go.
Lifestyle.
I mean, some of that strange stuff is beyond their control, of course. If it's unavailable, it's unavailable.
Serotalk
but
Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access mobile network.
Now we can skip around in this.
Technology, cool software, education, information, entertainment, user comments.
There's a pause button.
And now here's your host, Michael Locke.
Stop button.
Serotalk podcast 69. June 6, 2011. This is Michael Love.
I'm Ricky.
Comments made on the Serotalk podcast are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, or
the
directors.
0320
seeker.
4 of 4.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast.
And we can also
pause it or we can also fast forward and rewind. So, great app to get good information in there. I strongly recommend you go grab that one, iBlink Radio. It's a free app. Let me see if I can exit out of this. Okay, there's no exit. We just hit the back, I guess.
Same mobile net.
Okay.
Accessibility.
Now then.
Apps 9 of 10.
I just wanted to show you that app because it is great, and I'm glad to see it on Android. And I hope we see more of this. It's kind of annoying sometimes that iOS always seems to be the first platform that, you know, these kind of applications are developed on first, and then Android's kind of a second thought. And I hope eventually that I wish it would happen now that Android, you know, becomes, you know, equal platform and developers give as much priority to Android as they do for iOS, because they're both very usable platforms and actually are the top two platforms now for blind users to use, really. I mean, you can still get Symbian phones, I think, and there might be a couple of Windows Mobile 6 ones, but both platforms are on the way out. They're obsolete. I mean, it makes no sense to buy into an obsolete platform. And we'll talk a little more about that when we get to the look-around app for GPS, too. I got a few comments on that. Okay,
settings,
so back
apps,
to applications.
List, apps, list. I blink radio. Let's go 29 ahead and, of ideal web reader. I heard radio. I'm 32 of 76.
It says I'm. It's I'm plus. Let's go ahead and open that.
I'm is running. I'm. Window. Accounts. 3 of 9.
Okay.
I'm is running. I'm is running.
It puts a notification there. It says I am plus is running.
N0oxy at charter.net. 1 of 1.
Okay. N0oxy at charter.net. That's my email address too, by the way, if anyone wants to contact me. And that's my messenger. Account. So let's go ahead and open that.
N0oxy app charter.net. Connect. 1 of 4. Edit. 2 of remove. 3. Disable account. 4 of 4.
All right, let's do connect.
Remove. Edit. Connect. 1 of 4. I'm is running. I'm. Window. N0oxy app charter.net. 1 of 1. I'm is running. Disconnect all. Button. 10 of 10. Disconnect accounts. 3 of 10.
Okay.
Chats. 2 of 10. Contacts.
All right.
1 of 6.
So there we are. We are signed in, and we are good to go. You notice everything there is well labeled. We can cursor around.
6 of 6. Contacts.
Let me open my contacts.
1 of 6. 6 of 6. Contacts. 1 of 6.
Let's see.
6 of 6.
Unless it's still loading up, usually it,
contacts, 1 of 6, chats, 2 of 6, 6 of 6.
I'm assuming this is, signed in. Let
menu.
Me just check the menu.
Mark all as read, 1 of 4, settings, 2, about, exit, about, mark
okay.
All as read, I'm, window, chats, 2 of, contacts, 1 of 6. 6 of 6.
I'm not sure why it's not signing into this. That's a little odd.
Contacts. 1 of 6.
Let me pause this for a second and see what's going on, why it's having a little trouble signing in or what the deal is. I'll be right back. Okay. It just took me a minute. All I had to do... I had the wrong password in there. I guess I had mistyped it the first time when I had saved it before. So I just retyped that, and we are good to go. Okay, so what we've got here is the contacts, and I can go ahead and arrow down
contacts.
Through this.
Other contacts. L Sweets, Amy, Eli, and Toby, Cecilia, Dap, Christy, away. 5 of 11. Dana, away. 6 of 11.
Okay, let me see if any of my friends are around. My friend Stephanie. Let me send her something here.
3 of 11. L Sweet Stephanie. I thank God every day for giving I'm window button.
Okay.
Business card reader for Android. That's by Edmob. Type to compose. Edit field. Button. Type to compose.
Now that send button actually isn't labeled. It should be. That's the one thing, I guess, that isn't labeled. That's kind of common, actually. Okay, let me just type something here. Let's put
H E Y space Y O U space
hey you
N-R-O-U-N-D
around
N D
comma
comma space T E
testing
T I N G space A space
A messenger
S E N G E R space A
app
P space O N space M Y
on
space
my phone.
P H O N E.
Okay. Let's see if I
button pay you around. Testing a messenger app on my phone.
And let's
Ed
hit
button
that button to send it.
You 5:18 PM. Pay you around. Testing a messenger app on my phone. You 5:08 type to compose. Edit field.
Now the cool thing about this app is I'm in the edit field, but if I arrow up,
you 5:18 PM. Hey, you around? Testing a messenger app on my phone. 1 of 5.
You can actually arrow.
You 5:08. Type to compose.
You can actually arrow through the text. And it does, I believe, put a notification there that when you get a new message, which should automatically read. I don't know if my friend's around or not. It works very nicely, as you can see.
You type to compose, edit field.
Yeah, and of course, we could have used the speech recognition feature on Android too, and just dictated that it right into this field. Also, you can also do that. So it's a great app. IM Plus. There is a pro version of this also, actually. Very good app indeed to have. And like I say, it works with, I think, Facebook chat, Skype. And a couple of other ones that I can't remember off the top of my head. MSN Messenger Mercury, that's the one I was telling you about. That one is also very similar to that. It's actually a very similar app as far as it only does MSN Messenger, but you can arrow through the conversation too, which is very nice. So it's very easy to read the history. Well, it's like my friend's not around.
You, 5:18 p.m. Hey, you are up. Type to compose. Edit field.
Okay. You get the idea, though. If there was a reply, you could arrow up through that and just reread it. And again, if you get the notification when somebody sends you something, it also, that would also read. So I'm going to go ahead and exit out of this.
Menu. Attach. 1 of 5. Templates. 2 of 5. Invite to conference. 5 of 5. Templates. 2 of 5. Attach.
Well,
1 of 5.
I guess I have to exit out of the
window.
Chat window. First.
Type to compose. You. Type to compose. I'm. Window. L. Sweet Stephanie. I thank Amy. Eli. L.
Okay, now if we
Stephanie,
hit the menu key.
I thank menu. Search contact. At contact. My status. Settings. 4 of 6. About. Exit. 6 of 6.
Let me just hit exit there.
Exit. I'm question. All active services will be disconnected. Yes. No. Don't ask again. Window. No. Yes. Button. Mobile accessibility.
Okay. And apps we just exited that. So if you want to grab maybe both of those apps, they're both good to have. Like I said, MSN Messenger, Mercury, and IM Plus. Another one. Now this one you do have to put in your. You create an account and then you enter all of your different IM credentials into it. But if you're okay with doing that, another one that is very accessible on Android also is one called eBuddy. It's eBuddy. So that one is also very accessible like this, where you can arrow through the chat history. So you got really three IM clients on Android that are very accessible. And hats off to the developers for that. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at application management. Let me go ahead and shut off my Wi-Fi, because I don't really think I'm going to need a really fast data connection for anything else that we're going to do here at this point. So I'll go ahead and shut that
unlock
off to save
window.
My battery.
Mobile accessibility. Phone 1 of 10.
Okay.
Settings. Window.
Go to
wireless and networks. Wireless and network settings. Window. AirPlay. Wi-Fi. Connected to Macworld. Check.
Macworld is the name of my Wi-Fi. So I just unchecked that, and that'll shut off the Wi-Fi. Okay.
Settings. Window. Mobile
so
accessibility.
What this
phone
is, there's a section in the Android settings that allows you to manage your applications. And what you can do is clear out the cache for an application. The cache is like temporary files. It's... you see that most commonly in a web browser, and there is some cache cleaners that do this for you, that do it all in one sweep. One tap cleaner is a good one to get. That's the one I use. So you can clear the cache out. Not all applications have cache. Some do, some don't. And then you can also do what's called clearing the data of an app. It's rare that you would need to do that, but there are times when it comes in handy. Clearing the data of an application, it's kind of the equivalent of, on a Mac, if you went in and deleted the preference files. So, new ones have to be created. In Windows, if you kind of took out an application's registry entries, it doesn't uninstall and reinstall the app, but it puts the app back into a state of as if it was never used. It clears out like any settings it would have, any history, any other supplemental files that it would have created. And it's good to do that if an application is acting odd for some reason. A lot of times you don't have to uninstall and reinstall the app. Clearing the data will give it a total fresh start. And to show you that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in and clear out the data for the other thing you can do is clear the defaults. A lot of times you may see screens and Android asking you, if you have more than one application that can do a certain function, it will ask you which app do you want to be the default for this or which one do you want to use. And if you ever change your mind on that, you can go in and clear out the defaults for an application, so then it will ask you again which one you want. That's good for the home screen type thing if you want to set a different home screen as your default. Okay, where you find all this is in the settings screen again. So let me re-unlock my phone here.
Unlock window. T-Mobile accessibility. Phone 1 of 10.
All right, let's go into settings again.
Settings. Window.
And applications is where we need to go.
Wireless. Call set. Sound. Display. Data manager. Location and security. 6 of 7. Accounts. Applications. 8 of 7.
Applications. There we go.
Application settings. Window. Unknown sources. Allow installation of non-market applications. Checked.
Okay, and I know I covered this briefly in the first podcast, so now I'll go into this in a little more detail. Let's go down to
Quick Launch. Set keyboard shortcuts to launch applications.
That's where you can set, if your phone has a keyboard, chances are you've got that option. That's where you can set up keyboard shortcuts for launching applications so you don't have to go through the apps list. Very, very handy feature.
Manage applications.
That's where we need to go.
Share and remove installed applications. 3 of 6. Loading. Manage applications. Window. Downloaded.
Okay.
1 of 6.
Now what we've got here is we've got some tabs across the top that determine which applications are displayed in the list. You've got like downloaded, apps that you might have on your SD card, running, which that one is the longest list. So you can kind of narrow it down. In this case, the Sendero Lookaround app, let me kind of explain to you what this will do. There are some settings in the Sendero Lookaround app whether you want the self-voicing feature to be enabled or not, so it reads the options as you arrow through them. Well, if you have a screen reader, you obviously wouldn't want it to do that, otherwise you'll have double voicing. Also, what POI category you want it to give you, like the 5 nearest POIs, what category do you want? Those, that kind of thing. So that's what the data actually does. So what we'll do is we'll go in and we'll clear that out so you can see how to do that. And that'll also, since I said I was going to demonstrate the Lookaround app, you'll be able to see kind of how that works from the start. Because since there's all the data has been cleared out, then it will be as if the app was never installed. So that's a downloaded app, of course. I bought it from the market. It's $5, I think, was the price of it, and it's well worth it. It's a very, very nice app. So let me go ahead and unlock this again.
Unlock window. Manage applications.
All right.
Window.
Downloaded is what we're on, I think.
Running. Downloaded.
Yes.
1 of 6.
So let's go ahead and go down to Sendero Lookaround.
One tab, cleaner free. 407 accessibility preferences. Amazon MP3.
I'm going to move through this kind of fast.
Maps. Sendero Lookaround. 0.98 megabytes. 26 of 45.
Okay, let me stop a second because we passed over maps. Let me kind of mention, if you've used the Google Navigation at all, which of course is part of Google Maps, you've probably noticed that as you put in more destinations, they store in your history, which is very convenient. It's, that way if you go back to those destinations again, they're right there. You don't have to type them in. Well, if you wanted to clear out that history, you would go into the maps here and then you would click on Clear Data. And that would erase all of that. And then the next time you open Google Navigation, you would get that screen that you got the first time when you first used it. The directions may not be accurate, and you have to accept that agreement and all that good stuff, like the first time. So that's what the effect of clearing an application's data out actually does. Okay, let's see here.
Scanner, Sendero Lookaround.
Sendero Lookaround. Okay, let's go ahead and open that up.
26 application info. Window. Sendero Lookaround, version 1.0.5.4 stop,
Uninstall. Storage. Total. 0.98 megabytes. Application. 852 KB. Data. 156 KB. Clear data. Move to SD card. Cache. Cache. 0.00 B. Clear cache. Launch by default. No defaults set.
Okay. So,
share.
What this does, you probably saw a lot of different things.
Can access the following on your phone.
Okay.
Your location. 5 GP. Move
permissions.
To SD card.
So you noticed there was quite a few things there. And what it is you can force stop. That's kind of like a task manager if it's frozen or something like that. Then you've got the clear data. And you notice it said it had like 100 some odd K of data. So, yeah, that we'll go ahead and clear that out here. Clear cache. There is no cache in this app. Move to SD card. Some apps can do that and some don't. And I'd recommend you don't move apps to your SD card unless you absolutely have to. They'll run faster from phone memory. So, all right. So let's go down to clear data here. And you may have to kind of move around, up, down, left, and right to find it. But
clear cache. Move to SD. Uninstall. But force stop. But clear data. Button.
There it is. I'll go ahead and select it.
Delete. All of this application's data will be deleted permanently. This includes all files, settings, accounts, databases, and so on. Okay. Cancel.
So that's what this does. And again, you normally wouldn't have to do this with an app unless it's really, you know, misbehaving or acting up each time you start it. I don't even have to do it here. I'm just doing it for demonstration purposes. And so you can see what the Sendero Lookaround app is like when you first get it and when you first install it. But it can be a great troubleshooting thing if an app is really misbehaving and you just can't get it to work properly. And it was working before. And it's all of a sudden started acting up. So I'm going to tell it okay here.
Cancel. Okay. But application info. Window. Recomputing size. Button.
And it says recomputing size because now the size of the application, of course, will decrease. So that's we can go ahead and hit back and back out of this now.
Manage applications. Window. Sendero Lookaround. 0.90. Application settings. Window. Settings.
Okay. So that's kind of how you manage an application. You could uninstall an application from there, too, if you wanted to. You just choose uninstall, and then you would click OK a couple of times to remove it. So that's definitely one way you can do that. All right. So that's kind of how that works with managing applications. Let's get into some more stuff about GPS, because this is one area where Android really shines. And I think, honestly, the days of, and some people may disagree with me on this, and you're certainly welcome to do that. But I think the days of this paying for expensive GPS, you know, $700 or $800 for accessible GPS, it's done. It's over. There's simply no more reason to do that. For a couple of reasons. Number one, the platforms currently that the Sendero, I'm not picking on the company. What they've done, I think, is very innovative, but they're the only ones really who have done this, so that's why I'm mentioning them. And they, after all, make the Lookaround app, which I'm going to show you here, which is excellent. It's an excellent app. But the Sendero Accessible GPS, the platforms that it run on currently are just, they're becoming obsolete fast. Mobile Geo runs on Windows Mobile 6. It's a dying breed. Microsoft has just announced that they are closing the Windows Mobile 6 marketplace. It's done. The operating system is dead. And the other ones, the note takers that it runs on, which also use a form of Windows Mobile. I mean, number one, the operating system again is obsolete. It's a dying breed. And number two, there's simply no reason to pay for an expensive note taker like that anymore when you can buy, even if you want Braille, you can buy a laptop now and a Braille display for much cheaper than it costs to get one of those note takers. There's simply no advantage to it anymore. There's no reason to pay more for a product that does less. It's pointless. And the second reason why I think those days are done is because for the most part now on the top two platforms for smartphones, iOS and Android, we have 95% probably of the features that the Sendero GPS offered. Now, I've heard that Sendero is actually considering developing something for iOS and Android, and I hope they do. I really do. I think there will still be a market for that, perhaps, although they're never going to be able to sell it for those prices. It's not going to work for a couple of reasons. Again, number one, because there's normally most apps do not cost that much on the app stores for these. And number two, they're going to have to offer something if they want to charge you like $100 for it or something. They're going to have to offer something, though, that is going to be very innovative that isn't already available on the two platforms, because you can now find out where you're at, and pretty close to where you're at, actually, on both platforms, and you can get very good detailed turn-by-turn directions on both platforms. In the case of iOS, there's four or five different apps that cost between like $30 and $50 for the navigation, and again, the Sendero Lookaround app is about $5 for either platform. And then on Android, of course, the turn-by-turn directions are free. You can use Google Maps. There are a few things that it doesn't do, like it doesn't tell you how many feet you are from an intersection and that type of thing, and it's not automatic. You have to either shake the phone or select the option to hear where you're at. Of course, the turn-by-turn directions are spoken automatically by those apps, but to find out where you're at, you do have to either shake the phone or select an option. But again, that's, in my opinion at least, that's minor detail. That's not worth paying several hundred dollars for those extra things. It just isn't. So that's my take on that. Okay, what I'm going to do, before we go ahead and head out, I'm going to pause this and go grab a Bluetooth receiver. I've got several of them here, and I actually deleted the pairing for the one I'm going to use for this, so you can see how this works to pair your GPS device with an Android phone. Again, to use this, you'll want to use the Bluetooth GPS app. You can download that from the market. So I'm going to pause this and let me go grab a Bluetooth GPS receiver. All right, we're back on the recording here. The receiver I've got right here, it's a pretty popular one. It's the iBlue 737. And in a lot of ways, this is actually easier than on Windows Mobile, because in Windows Mobile, you remember, you had to pair the receiver and then you had to assign it a COM port and all this other stuff. You have to pair it still on this, but there's no messing around with COM ports or any of that stuff. It's a lot easier. So what we do, I'm going to go ahead and turn on this receiver. And I'll go ahead and set it on the windowsill here so it gets a GPS fix pretty quick. Okay, let me go ahead and unlock the phone here.
Unlock window. Settings. Window.
Okay. There's one setting you'll want to enable under Applications, under Development. You have to enable this for the Bluetooth GPS app to work, and I'll show you where that is.
Applications. 8 of 7. Battery. Applications. Application settings. Window. Unknown sources. Allow installation of Quick Launch. Manage running services. View. Development. Set options for application development. 5 of 6. Double tap Home Launch. Development. Set options
okay.
for application development.
So,
5 of 6.
That's where we need to go.
Development. Window. USB debugging. Debug mode when USB is connected. Not checked. 1 of 3. Stay awake. Screen. Allow mock locations. Allow mock locations. Check.
That one, allow mock applications. What that does, it's a feature that basically allows an application to overwrite, or even if you have the internal GPS enabled, it allows an application to overwrite what the internal GPS might say with its own thing. And that's what this application essentially does. It connects to the Bluetooth receiver and then gets what the Bluetooth GPS receiver says and uses this API for that. The phone will use what the Bluetooth GPS receiver says. And for most applications, you don't even have to have the internal GPS enabled. I don't have it enabled now. The only time you do is when you're going to use Google Navigation. It insists on having the internal GPS checked, even if it has a fix from the Bluetooth one. But even again, the Bluetooth one will still overwrite that. And I don't even think it'll use the internal GPS. It just has to be checked for the Google Navigation to work. But the Sendero Lookaround doesn't. It works just fine without having the internal GPS enabled. So, okay, so this is enabled,
unlock
I think.
Unlock window.
Oh, let me
T-mobile.
Unlock this again.
Development.
Okay.
Window. Allow mock locations. Allow mock locations. Check.
Okay, good.
Free of three.
All right, let's go ahead and back out of this.
Application settings. Window. Settings. Window. Applications. 8 of 17.
Okay, now we need to go back up to wireless and networks.
Wireless and networks. 1 of 17.
All right, let's go ahead and select that.
Wireless and network settings. Window. Airplane mode. Disable all wireless connections. Not checked. Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi setting. Bluetooth. Turn on Bluetooth. Not checked.
Okay, so the first thing you want to do is turn on Bluetooth. No reason to keep that on when you're not using it because it does take battery, but in this case, we'll enable this.
Checked.
Okay, now let's go down to
Bluetooth settings. Manage connection.
Bluetooth settings.
Set device name. Bluetooth settings. Window. Bluetooth. Checked. 1 of 6.
Okay, and there we are. So Bluetooth is already checked. You can also enable it or disable it here. Now, again, depending on your phone, you might have more or less options in here, but the one you will have, I'm sure, is scan for devices, and that's where we have to go.
Device, discover, enhanced, scan for devices, 5 of 6.
And once you do this, once you pair it, it'll remember the pairing, and you won't have to go through this again. It's a one-time thing. And you can even have more than one Bluetooth GPS receiver paired to your phone, and you could set in the Bluetooth GPS application which one it actually connects to. Okay, it should have found it by now. Let's see.
Stars GPS. Paired but not connected. 6 of 7. BTA GPS. Pair with this device.
Okay, that's the one. It identifies itself as BTA GPS. Bluetooth AGPS, I guess. So we're going to go ahead and select that.
Bluetooth pairing request. Window. Edit password.
Okay, and it wants a pairing authorization code. Most of these receivers, the code is 0000. So I'm just going to type that. And it won't speak it because it's a password field. Okay, let me go ahead and just go down to
okay. Cancel. Okay.
Hit okay.
Button. Bluetooth settings. Window. BTA GPS. Paired but not connected. 6. Scan for device. BTA GPS. Paired but not connected. 6 of 7.
And there we go. Okay. So it's paired and it's ready to go. So now let's close out of this.
Wireless and network settings. Window. Mobile accessibility.
Okay. Now, I've got a keyboard shortcut from my Bluetooth GPS app, and that's holding the search key and pressing B, so I'm going to go ahead and do that now.
Please, Bluetooth GPS, window, Stars GPS,
okay.
2 of 2.
QStars GPS, that's another receiver I've got. That's not the one I'm using at the moment, though. So what you do is you select the name of the receiver that it displays, and it will give you then like a pop-up menu of receivers that are paired that you can connect to. So that's what I'm going to do now.
Select device. Stars GPS. Stars GPS. 2 of 2. BTA GPS. 1 of 2.
And that's the one we want, so we'll select that.
Bluetooth GPS. Window. BTA GPS.
And then we just move up, arrow up one time to
connect. Button.
Connect, and we go ahead and select that.
Please wait. Window. Bluetooth GPS is running. Bluetooth GPS
All right.
is running. Bluetooth GPS.
And
window. Stop.
Let me just double check the
Bluetooth
flashing.
GPS is running.
Yep. The way it's flickering on the, I've got a little bit of usable vision I can tell. So this phone is now connected to that receiver and getting GPS fixes from it. Well, if an application requests it, I should say. All right. So we can go back to the home screen here.
Mobile accessibility. Phone 1 of 10.
All right. So before we head out, I'll go ahead and start the Sendero look around application so you can see how it works. Then we cleared the data out, so this will be what it's like when you first get it. If you don't have a Bluetooth GPS receiver, that's fine. That's okay. Just go into settings under location and security and enable the phone's GPS from there if it isn't already, and you'll be fine. Okay, I've got another keyboard shortcut for that, so I don't have to go into my apps. It's the search key in L for look around. So when I do that, again, this app at first will be self-voicing quite a bit because, well, even when you, here's the difference I was going to mention too, with Android and iOS. iOS, there is no application program interface or API for third-party programs to speak using the iPhone's text-to-speech engine, and you got Samantha and all the other voices. So for the GPS apps, and this is really impractical when you think about it, the GPS navigation apps have to include their own text-to-speech engine. So essentially, I've got 3 different copies of Samantha on my iPhone. The TomTom uses it, the new Magellan Roadmate, the new version of that, which has become accessible now. It uses Samantha. And then, of course, you've got the built-in Samantha voice that VoiceOver uses. Three copies of that TTS engine, because Apple doesn't provide a way for applications to send, you know, text to the TTS engine that's built into it. So an application, if it wants to speak something, either has to rely on VoiceOver to speak it or has to include their own TTS engine, which increases the cost of the app because they have to license that. That's why with the Sendero Lookaround app on the iPhone, when you click on the Lookaround option or something like that, it moves focus. Basically, it opens a new window and moves focus to the top of the screen so VoiceOver can read the new text. Well, with Android, you don't have that restriction. There is a API for applications to be self-voicing and to send text to whatever voice you have selected as the default. And that's why they were able to do a self-voicing app for the Lookaround app on Android, which really makes a lot more sense. I don't know why Apple doesn't allow developers to do that. But so there are two modes for this app. You could have it speak everything, even as you arrow around to the different buttons, or you can have it speak just the results of your Lookaround request and that type of thing, and then your screen reader will read the buttons as you move around. And that's the mode we're going to, you know, set it to, because, of course, I'm using a screen reader. So I just wanted to explain that difference. Really, that would allow the Lookaround app on Android could technically be developed to actually automatically announce, you know, do a new Lookaround every 20 or 30 seconds and run in the background even and do things like that because it's self-voicing. But the Lookaround app on the iPhone really could not do that because if you minimize it or move to another application, it won't be able to voice anything without including its own text-to-speech engine. Again, I'm not sure why Apple has that restriction, but they do. Okay, so let me unlock this phone again.
Unlock window. Mobile accessibility. All
right. Let's go ahead and do hold the search key and press L for look around.
Sendero look around.
Use with caution. Sendero GPS look around is intended for orientation purposes and there are no guarantees as to the accuracy of the data. By proceeding, you understand this and agree that you are using Lookaround at your own risk. Map and POI data is copyrighted by TomTom. To accept disclaimer, press and hold button in bottom right hand corner of screen to decline disclaimer. Press and hold button in bottom left hand corner of screen.
Yeah, you can actually touch on the screen too and it will tell you the button that you're on and then if you hold your finger on the button it'll actually activate it. I prefer to just use the arrow keys. It's a little bit easier. So I'm going to go up to accept. And for a minute here, we're going to have double speech because the screen reader and the self-voicing part of it reads it.
Decline. Button. Accept.
And the phone also vibrates as you move from button to button. Okay, we're on the accept button. Let's go ahead and click it.
Sendero look around. Window.
Okay. Now, the first thing you're going to want to do if you're using a screen reader is go to settings and disable the self-voicing of the different controls. So let's go ahead and do that now.
Nearest cross street. Button. Nearest toggle shape setting. Mode. Settings. Button. Sendero look around. Window. Imperial. Distance unit. Shape. Include low shape. Point. Disable speech. Button.
Speech disabled.
There we go. Now the self-voicing of the controls is disabled. And I'll show you what else is in here for settings.
Distance units. Button.
You can set what the distance unit is. You can set it for like I think yards or meters, so you can change that.
Shake gesture. Button.
Okay, shake gesture. You can turn that feature off, and I'm going to do that because that way if you shake the phone, it'll give you a look around, and if it's in your pocket, that can cause it to talk quite a bit. So I'm going to turn that off. I prefer to actually click the button.
Include and shake. Button.
Okay, include and shake. This is a good option. There are three different things. When you click on look around or shake the phone that it'll give you, it'll tell you where you are, your cross street, and the closest POI. I'm going to turn off the closest POI option because it's much faster, and there's a separate button for getting that. So I'm going to open this window.
Sendero look around. Window. Where am I enabled? Button. Cross street enabled. Nearest POI enabled.
Okay, so nearest POI is enabled. I'm going to disable that. And
Nearest POI disabled.
There we go. Okay, let's go ahead and hit the back
key. Severo look around. Window. Include and shake. Button.
Okay. Let's go ahead and see what else we have here.
Low shake sensitivity.
That's your shake sensitivity. If you, you know, you can set the sensitivity if you want to use the shake feature.
Points of interest. Button.
Okay, points of interest. You can set what category is included for the points of interest. It defaults to restaurants, and you can change that. The one thing this app doesn't have yet, which hopefully will come, at least I don't think it does. Let me see if it's been added.
Sendero look around. Window. Airport. 1 of 16. Bank. Cafe. Car dealer. Cafe pub. Car dealer. 4 of 6. Doctor. Entertainment. Hospital. Hotels. Library. Museum. Petrol station. Place of worship. Post office. Restaurant. Shop. School. 16 of 16.
Yeah, the iPhone one has a variety setting that'll kind of include all of those. The Android one doesn't have that yet. Hopefully that is something that will come. I did actually suggest that to them. So I'll go ahead and set it to restaurant.
Shop, restaurant, 14 of 16.
Okay.
Shop, 15, restaurant.
Okay, and then we hit the back key to...
window.
Okay.
Point, enable speech.
And then enable speech, that option does speak, so you can tell that you're on it. You know, but we'll keep that disabled.
About.
Because I got a screen reader. Okay, so the settings are all set. Let's go ahead and hit the back key.
Sendero look around. Window. Look around.
All right.
Button.
What do you say we go ahead and head out and take this for a spin? There's a park not too far from here. Let's go ahead and walk over there. And we will put this app through its paces a little
look,
bit.
Sendero,
I'm
going to
go
around.
Ahead and pause this. And I will start the recording again once we get outside. All right, we are back on the recording here. And, well, I'll tell you, it has been scorching heat all week this week in St. Louis. And actually cooled off slightly today, so it's kind of nice out here. Got a little bit of rain last night. But it's good walking weather. All right, so I'm just over here at the park. And... let's go ahead and walk a little bit. I'm pretty close to a busy street. I'm trying to kind of get away from that so we can, so you'll be able to hear a little better. All right, let me go ahead and stop here and go ahead and open this up.
Unlock window. T-mobile. 5 minutes. Sendero look around.
All right.
Window.
Let's go ahead and hit the look around option here.
Look around. Button. Look around. Nearest cross street. Look around. Button.
Okay, there we go.
Current location is 6847 Lindenwood Place facing east. Cross street is Winslick Avenue.
All right. So that is the address that we're close to and the cross street. Now, Winslick Avenue, what this doesn't tell you, and sometimes you'll have this, is you may have a street that runs like on one side of the street, but not the other. So if it says there's a cross street and you don't come to one right away, you can safely assume that that's the case. The other thing I'll tell you, this works great with the Google Navigation. What you can do is start a route in you know, Google Navigation, and once you get that going, you can go back to the home screen. You know, minimize that, and then start up your Sendero Lookaround app, and then the Google Navigation will continue to give you the directions, and the Lookaround app will tell you what's where you're at. There's some other buttons if you want specific information. That was the Lookaround one. We can also do
nearest cross street. Button.
Nearest cross street.
Winslick Avenue crossing Lindenwood PL.
Okay, yeah, Winslick Avenue crossing Lindenwood Place. And I'm going to keep walking here, and we'll eventually get to the corner. And again, I believe that Winslick Avenue, that I am pretty sure only runs on the other side of the street. So that is another thing that the Sendero will tell you if a street is on the right or left side. Maybe they can add that to look around. I don't know. It's... Again, though, it's certainly not a feature that makes it worth paying several hundred dollars more for. The other issue I've found with this is sometimes the direction that it says you're going, that's, of course, based on the compass. That may not always be correct, and that may just be a limitation of the compass itself. All right, let's do another look around here. Let's see where we're at here.
Current location is 6737 Lindenwood Place, facing southeast. Cross street is Prather Avenue.
Yeah, Prather Avenue is the next street. So yeah, Wenslick Avenue was, it was a street that ran on the other side of the street I'm on, which is Lindenwood, of course. So it doesn't run on this side of the street. All right, what about the POIs? Well, remember, we selected restaurant for that category, so let's go over to that. Whoops, I think I hit the, I hit enter again.
Location is 6723 Lindenwood Place, facing east. Cross street is Prather Avenue.
Okay, let's move over to the POI option.
Nearest 5 points of interest.
Nearest five button. Points of interest, and we're set to the restaurant category.
Points of interest. Window.
And it'll do a little tone each time it finds one. This one takes us.
Zero look around. Window. Bono's Pizzeria, 0.3 miles. Petro's, 0.3 miles. E. Donut Drive-In, 0.32 miles. Southeast.
Southeast, so it tells you the direction also. And I've just gotten to the corner, by the way. Donut Drive-In, yeah, that's, they got some really good donuts there. Very good stuff, for sure. Let's see what else we got.
St. Louis Bread, 0.32 miles.
St. Louis Bread Company, oh, their bagels are really good.
St. Louis Bread Co.
Okay. So then we just hit back to go back to the main look around screen. Okay. So now I've actually turned the corner and I'm on the next block. So when I hit look around now, let me do that.
Current location is 3887 Prather Avenue, facing north. Cross street is Lindenwood Plural.
Now, Lindenwood Plural, it says Lindenwood Place, so it already knows that I've turned the corner, and it's, you know, you can tell what street you're on now, just by that. So it's, you know, it gets the change very quick. Now, again, I'm using the Bluetooth GPS at this point, so your results might vary a little bit, but it's overall, it should work very good for you, I think. Most of the GPSs, even in the built-in phones, work really nicely. So that should be really good. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pause this and head back, and then did I cover everything in this that I wanted to? I'm trying to think if I did. Well, I'll go ahead and give you a few other comments on the GPS stuff on the way back. If you're using, I think I showed you this in the first podcast, but if you are using the Google Navigation, if you go to the notifications screen, it will tell you the distance to your next turn also, so you can get that. And of course, the Google Navigation will also give you an itinerary of your route, which is a list of directions. So there is another app too. Which I might demonstrate this at some point if somebody's interested, if people are interested. On Android, I don't think this is available on iOS, but it's called Intersection Explorer. And this does allow you to virtually explore the map. Basically, it starts at your current location, and you swipe your finger along the screen to go in different directions. And it announces the streets that you come to. So that is possible on Android, though I don't think it is on iOS at this point. So that is covered on Android also. So again, 95% probably of the features that are offered in the expensive GPS systems are available at a very low price. So, you know, I on the one hand, I think it would be nice if Sendero did move to these platforms, but on another... Well, the high price just is not going to sell. $700 is never going to work in this, you know, for those. But they're also, on the other hand, going to have to offer something very innovative because most of the stuff is there. They've got the Look Around app, which is really good on both the platforms. And, you know, between that and even before they had that on Android, you had the Eyes Free Shell, and mobile accessibility even has something that'll tell you where you're at. Although this one is the most advanced. It does give you an exact address and the cross streets, whereas the other one sort of just gave you a kind of an address range. So it is well worth the $5 for this app. There's no question about that. But getting back to the other the platforms, I mean, Windows Mobile 6 is a dying breed, and Symbian is it's on the way out too. I mean, you can still get Symbian phones, but recently too, it was like 40% of developers surveyed said they're dropping Symbian development. And Nokia is even phasing it out. They're moving to Windows Phone 7, which, unfortunately, at this point, has no accessibility in it. And that Microsoft clearly should have known better than to do that, than to release that with no accessibility. There is no excuse for that whatsoever. So at this point, that platform is totally unusable to us. So iOS and Android are the two to look at, for sure. But This Lookaround app is awesome. It's a great app, and I would recommend anybody that uses an Android phone get it. If you do traveling, it's well worth it. You know, I don't know. I think that hopefully Sendero can, you know, come up with something for these, because making these expensive ones for these note takers and things, it's not going to be viable much longer. The platforms are on the way out. Windows Mobile 6 and all of its flavors, whether it's note taker, phone, it's done. There's no way around it. So that's kind of the scoop there. Okay, I'm going to pause this just about home, and then I will wrap this up and give you my my contact information. All right, then. We are back on the recording here. And one other thing I wanted to tell you. Hopefully this will be posted on Blind Cool Tech before June the 20th. But even if it isn't, you can still get the archive. But on June the 20th, on the Tech Talk show on Accessible World, it's accessibleworld.org, I'm actually going to be giving a Android presentation and kind of be talking about you know, the advantages of it, and maybe doing some demos and things like that. So if you are able to hear this before June 20th and you want to catch that show, I think it's on at, I believe it's 8 o'clock Eastern time. It's either 7 or 8. You could check for sure on accessibleworld.org. I need to check for sure, I guess, also since I'm doing it. but if you happen to hear this after June 20th, I'm sure the archive will be available if you're interested in hearing that, although if you've heard all four of these podcasts, it's probably a little redundant, but if you want to check that out, of course, you're more than welcome. Okay. I hope you've enjoyed this. I've certainly enjoyed doing it, and certainly if you have any other questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. Something else you want to have me demonstrate in a future podcast, we can certainly do that. I know Android has really taken off for the blind community in the last couple of months, and that's really awesome. It's good that we have choices for sure, and really at a low cost. I mean, you can use mobile accessibility if you want to with Android, but you don't have to. There are some free options available, so there's definitely some choices out there. If you want to contact me, my email address is it starts with my ham radio call sign, which is N as in November, so it's N0OXY, that's my ham radio call sign, at charter, C-H-A-R-T-E-R, .net. So it's, again, N0OXY at charter.net. And if you'd like to contact me, feel free. All right. Everyone take care, and we'll hopefully talk to everybody soon.